random encounter at a broadcasting facility. A shared interest and love of all things Marvel.
Excelsior!
A misinterpreted program title. And behold, a podcast is born.
Peter Melnick.
Podcaster and comic book enthusiast. And
Eddie Wilson!
Upstate New York radio announcer, still with an inordinate amount of catching up to do.
Peter, what are you doing?
Here we go with a new episode of The Marvelists.
Hey, come on. Get your stuff. Let's go. Let's try that again. A week ago, I spent my life racing against time.
I'm gonna help you out today, okay?
Trying to save people who were running out of it.
Jesse!
Until one moment changed everything.
Welcome back to the land that we're living.
I don't understand what's happening. I've been having visions. I knew he was gonna die. I think I'm seeing the future.
New York City's a whole new level of crazy these days.
What do you want from me? What do you want?
New York City's a whole new level of crazy these days.
This is an emergency. Get off the train.
That man's trying to kill you.
What?
Who are you?
What is going on?
I can see the future.
Oh, what the hell?
She didn't see that coming?
That's not how it works. I've seen that man before.
So who is he?
Ezekiel Sims. He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Wait, I recognize you. You live in my building.
You're the paramedic.
Yeah, you almost ran me over. You don't think this is weird, how we're all connected?
It's honestly like the least weird thing that's happened all day.
What do you want from me?
I have no idea what those girls are called.
Why don't you want from me?
I think he can see into the future.
Why are you watching me?
He's trying to change what happens.
Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me?
Your future was almost so different.
Where do we go?
If you want to live, you have to trust me.
Get ready. Now!
You're showing off.
Maybe a little.
Welcome, everyone, to The Marvelous, the Marvel Universe podcast. I'm Eddie Wilson, taking this one solo, because Peter declined the invite, so to speak. This is a review of the newly released Valentine's Day 2024 Madam Web, the fourth film in Sony's Spider-Man universe, or the SSU. Joining me is a good friend. And also outside of the podcast, been a guest at least one time before, and that's Frank Rupp. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Eddie.
Good to have you, because a lot of times you can't do this by yourself. What's happening today, and by the way, Frank, is a walking encyclopedia, photographic memory of a whole lot of stuff. And it doesn't just have to apply to anything comic-related. It can be Halloween and horror movie-related and more than that, and roller coasters, too, and amusement park stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so a few date changes as to when this movie was released, and supposed to be a standalone movie, main star Dakota Johnson as Cassie or Cassandra Webb, confronting her past while trying to save three young women and their futures from the character named Ezekiel Sims, who doesn't get a other type name. Madam Webb, of course, is referred to Cassie, Cassandra, last name Webb. We see the three young ladies later that are teenagers who will, in 10 years' time, become these superhero spider women people. And one of the things that I think we had talked about upon seeing this was, all right, it's a two-hour movie, really not over that. And did we need to see so many spider people at once? Again, a standalone movie, perhaps, but it does have ties to Spider-Man. It's got to come from a source somewhere. And really, that's it. And I think both of our overall impressions were not as bad as we thought. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair. Better than I thought Rotten Tomatoes gave it.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it near the bottom of anything, 10, 13% thereabouts, maybe a 3.5 out of 10 rating on another source. But for the time that it was, I think an hour and 57, the most disappointing thing I'm going to say is no mid or post-credit scenes. Marvel has taught us to sit through and watch credits because there's other stuff that's going on midway through or afterwards. This doesn't help happen in this case. But overall, again, there's a comparison also to the film Morbius, and we'll be jumping around back and forth to that as well. A lot of these reviews, we've gone and skipped to the very end. Let's talk about the post-credit scene. No, let's try to take it through as we can and go through these different iterations. For those who are not familiar, Madame Web in the comic books is Cassandra Web. But the biggest difference, if you collect comics, you know some Spider-Man history. Amazing Spider-Man, back in 1980, we're introduced to an elderly woman connected to a life support system that resembles a spider web, as well as being blind, a clairvoyant, a precognitive mutant, and first appears to help Spider-Man find a kidnapping victim. She is able to pass her powers of precognition as well as her blindness onto Julia Carpenter, who becomes the next Madame Web. That's later down the line. That's other stuff. We'll be, again, jumping back and forth to that stuff. So when I first saw this trailer, I thought, wait, Madame Web, I know from the comics as being an elderly person, how are they going to make this work? Frank, maybe you were surprised at that point, right from the beginning also in the trailer?
Yes, I was expecting an elderly woman in a wheelchair. But once you see Dakota Johnson is the actress, you know it's not going to be such. So it's more the background story, I believe, for her. But it does not include her being paralyzed or visually impaired from birth.
Right, and that's what happens again in the comics. So right off the bat, we've got a departure, a divergence, and maybe part of the reasoning, yes, is to draw in the crowd, because otherwise I get an Aunt May resemblance and, you know, want to appeal to a mass audience, and maybe that's part of the delineation that comic books will have into film. Of course, this is all our own observations and thoughts as we go along. So again, Madame Web, a suspense thriller depicting the character's origin story in a standalone universe, with an approach that was more grounded and gritty compared to many previously released superhero films. We are starting in 1973, and this character of Ezekiel Sims leading a research team. Constance is her partner in this team, who happens to be close to due at the end of her pregnancy, looking for an unidentified species of spider in the jungles of Peru with rare healing properties. Ezekiel, selfish alert, betrays the team, claims a spider for himself before leaving Constance for dead. Yeah, he shoots the team, essentially. And an indigenous tribe attempts to save Constance using the bite of the spider, but she dies shortly after giving birth to a girl who she names Cassandra. Fast forward to 2003. And I guess we have to just take for granted that the indigenous people that are there, that's what they do. They look like spider-type people. They jump down huge heights of 20-plus tall trees, let's say. Any thought, Frank, on still with the indigenous people, if they did them up correctly, they dress like spider people? Is that how they're supposed to? Or
that's how it seemed, and even the main villain took on the persona of one of them as well.
That's a curious thing, too, because he's got a costume that definitely looks like the black suit Spider-Man, I think, with dark red highlights or dark red web lines on it.
Correct.
So it makes him different, bad, evil, all the above. And so we have to assume that, yes, he's gotten a spider bite or taken some venom or whatever the heck this might be.
Well, he had one of the spiders. He had the rare spider in the aquarium at his apartment.
Yeah, we don't see the actual, the transformation that happens with him.
Right.
But we see how, you know, spider powers manifest in Cassandra. When we fast forward to 2003, Cassandra, a.k.a. Cassie, is a single person in Queens. She's a paramedic. Her co-workers are Ben or Benjamin Parker. Oh, there's a little clue. And O'Neill, a little older gentleman, again, co-worker, and working to save a driver from a car hanging off a bridge. It says Cassie falls into the water. Well, she's trapped. She gets the passenger out. She winds up in the car because it moves, falls, and goes into the water. She has a near-death experience. Ben is able to revive her, but Cassie soon begins to suffer from what she initially dismisses as deja vu, seeing events that have not yet happened, but slowly realizes that she can see into the future after failing to prevent O'Neill from dying on the job. And when I read that, Wikipedia is being very helpful here. When I read that she failed to prevent O'Neill from dying on the job, I said, Peter Parker, the burglar, Spider-Man.
Uncle Ben.
And falling into that, Ben Parker, holy cow. So, yeah, I said I could tie that into if she recognized what her ability was to save someone, O'Neill wouldn't have died. Does she feel bad for that? Does she feel remorseful? I'm sure, to some degree. But this is what the movie unfolds to turn into be. And we move on here now. So Ezekiel has gained the same power as Cassie and enhanced physical abilities, is collecting information on three young women, Julia Cornwall, Anya Corazon, and Maddie Franklin. He has visions that lead him to believe they are destined to kill him. Cassie, also drawn to the same women, and intervenes to stop Ezekiel from ambushing them, and the scene of all places sent to the Grand Central Station. Steals a taxi, gets the girls Julia, Anya, and Maddie out of the city to hide them in a nearby forest. Well, wait a minute. We're in Queens. How, you know, nearby is a forest from Queens?
Well, wasn't she going up to Poughkeepsie to the funeral originally? So would she have thought about going up towards this area? Did you get away?
Possibly. Poughkeepsie is mentioned in there as well, yes. So it just struck me funny. But, you know, nearby. Well, nearby from wherever it was they were driving. So,
oh, wait, did she say Jersey?
No.
Didn't they say New Jersey some at one point in the movie?
Okay, yeah, but I guess they were just dissing on Jersey.
Okay.
Kind of thing, and I hear you. All right, so Cassie returns to her apartment, finds her late mother's notes to find out about Ezekiel's identity. She sees the picture. I know him. I saw him. And finding out about the true nature of his powers. So, meanwhile, the girls don't stay put because they're hungry and they're teenagers, of course. Why should you listen to what an adult is saying? And they go to a diner, the four-star diner, we're told, and Ezekiel finds them after they draw attention to themselves. Well, Ezekiel's got a setup where he's got someone, if we get to that name later, who's sitting at a master control panel, monitors everywhere, all communications can come right in, see where a phone call is being made and so on. And so they're pinpointed at this four-star diner. So it's relatively easy to track them. Cassie now, having more visions, figures she cannot beat Ezekiel physically. She catches up because she goes back to where they were supposed to have been in the woods. And she's able to track, all right, they're at this diner. And one of the action scenes has the cab she's driving ramming into Ezekiel and kind of takes out the diner for all intents and purposes. You know, creates a really big opening. Brings the girls back to Queens and persuades Ben to let them use his residence as a safe house. And this is tricky because, you know, parents or foster or otherwise are not really into coming into play here. Where's my girl? Where's my daughter? You know, what's going on? Okay, so the group is quote-unquote safe. Cassie decides to fly to Peru and track down the tribal chief who saved her mother. Now, this is going to be like 30 years later, so this has got to be a shot in the dark. Is he going to be still alive? Well, apparently the chief knew she was coming. Cassie goes through a ritual that separates her soul from her body. It's kind of like, I think of a Doctor Strange moment. Did that come to mind when you saw that she, you know, got outside of her body?
Yes, yes.
And that technical effect that was used there and falling into water, perhaps. But then also being able to get to a plane of higher consciousness, we're told, well, where all living things are connected, every possible future can be seen. And Cassie learns that her mother, far from being the selfish woman that she had always perceived, sought the spider to save her from a fatal hereditary disease. And so Ben's pregnant sister-in-law, Mary Parker, FYI, goes into labor at home, and Ben is forced to take the girls with him to a hospital. That's Emma Watson, I believe. And Ezekiel intercepts them again, but Cassie is able to rescue the girls in an ambulance and distract Ezekiel so Ben and Mary can escape. The group lures Ezekiel to a condemned firework factory. And something about that struck me kind of odd because you've got all these explosives in there still. If it's condemned, wouldn't it have to be emptied maybe? I mean, I don't know what the regulations are for that kind of thing, but they put all the pyrotechnics in that budget, I guess, into one place, if nothing else. Traps are set up to disorient Ezekiel while Cassie calls for a medical evacuation helicopter to fly to the location. While Ezekiel destroys the helicopter with his abilities, separates the girls, and then isolates Cassie where he taunts her with her mother's death. But tapping into the web of life, because it's out there. There's a tree of life, so there may as well be his web also, right? Cassie locates Maddie, Anya, and Julia, helps them to safety, and sets off a final trap which makes Ezekiel fall and get fatally crushed by a sign. Or is it the letter S? Or is it the letter P? Because Pepsi-Cola spent a significant amount of money on this production. Whether it's in the beginning, the big neon sign, or at the end where that's all they're having after all is said and done. So there's a big drop in terms of marketing there. You got the right one, baby. Uh-huh. Wait, that's Diet Pepsi, I think. Okay. And Ray Charles from a very long time ago. So this reveals in this late action that Cassie, not the girls, were destined to kill Ezekiel. So he had the right idea, but the wrong person. However, there's a loose firework that strikes Cassie in the face, and that causes her blindness. Did you catch that?
Yes, I think so.
You saw that part of it? Okay.
I didn't know it was going to cause her blindness, but yes.
Yeah, I...
As she fell into the water.
Yeah, okay. And I figured something went off near her face, but I don't know if it was that... It was just some fireworks exploding kind of thing. So Cassie's rescued. She's taken to the same hospital as Ben and Mary, just as Mary gives birth to her son, identified off-screen as Peter Parker. So now a blind Cassie wakes up to discover she's now paralyzed from the waist down due to her injuries. But her connection to the web of life means she can now see fully into the future. And Cassie assures the girls that she will mentor them in their future roles when the time comes. So in a sense, true believers, like it or not, this could be continued. Prospects for that, though? What do you think?
I believe so. You can definitely use Madame Web now in a Spider-Man movie or any other one. The three girls become Spider-Women of their own, so she could be mentoring any, all three, or just a single one. So her future in the Marvel Cinematic Universe looks like it's pretty secure if they choose to go with that field.
I think they would sign up for a sequel. Another one called Spider-Women, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. But with
the poor reviews of the movie, they may also just drop the whole thing. It gives them a lot of leeway either direction.
Yeah, it could be a one-and-done thing. So we don't really get to know character names. If you're in the know with the comic book characters, you say, oh, Julia is Spider-Woman. But not the first one. The first one we know as Jessica Drew. This is one that came along later. And the other two, which I think of as when Spider-Man in Endgame had the four metal arms. This, one of the other Spider-Women, has those. Again, this is in future that we don't see too much action, so to speak, in terms of that going on, which might not have been a bad idea. Cassie, in the film, depicted as an inexperienced clairvoyant in her 30s, learning her new powers, compared to the comic book version, a blind and paralyzed elderly woman connected to a life support system and a fully fledged clairvoyant. And that was a filmmaker decision to do that. Okay. Cassie was termed a loner, described her as somewhat abrasive, quirky, and, quote, on the outer edges of things, which she compared to the title character, that is director S.J. Clarkson, compared the character to the title character of the Marvel television series Jessica Jones. And maybe even in appearance there was some similarity, too. Sydney Sweeney, Julia Cornwall, who becomes Spider-Woman in this cast, of course. Isabella Merced as Anya Corazon, or Aranya. And just with that character, to depart from that a little bit, we both, Frank, you and I have seen, I think in some iteration, a Aranya character.
That's correct.
What do you see, or how did you see or remember Aranya?
My first impression with Aranya had something to do with, I believe, Old Man Logan, but I am not sure, because it's been a while since I read that comic. But I have seen her in the Marvel Encyclopedia. She's a more interesting character. My whole feeling is they could have played this movie with just Cassandra saving this one character and developing it into a solo movie just for Aranya. They have three. I think they overplayed with three. They could have picked any one of the three and did a focus right through into a sequel. And it might have been more receptive to the audience because you don't have to follow so many characters.
Did you think that by having three Spider-Women that reminded you of...
The Marvels?
Well, yes, that too. That was actually first and foremost, but then I thought about it a little more. And I said, wait a minute, this is like too many characters in one movie, even though it's all women, was the third Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire.
Okay, yes.
Sandman,
yes.
And Electro, and Harry, they, you know, as the Goblin.
But they built that all back They built that up. This is one movie shoving everybody at one time together. Yeah. They right. could have done with any one of the girls. She could have mentored them, saved them, mentored them, and led to a sequel where they could bring a second one or a third one in to carry the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Aranya also has been characterized as Spider-Girl, which in another comic book title of about 100 issues or so, Spider-Girl is a daughter of Peter Parker. So, not this Spider-Girl. Crossing the lines, I'll tell you what. It was happening before and or during the X-Men timeline crossover. But Anya Corazon, or Spider-Girl, we're told made her cinematic debut in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So, we have that going on if you're following the animated Spider stuff. And someone who, like my wife, has gone along with me in seeing all the movies one way or the other, but really doesn't care for the animated stuff. I think you're kind of along the same lines.
I've just not had time to watch it. My experience hasn't been the whole Milo Morales isn't something I've read, or my comics are much older. That would all be new to me. So it'd be like for entertainment purpose, not for the fact that I enjoy the comics because I don't understand it. It'd be more for entertainment to enjoy the movie.
Exactly. And that's what you have to go into it with, I think. So the third one of those will be coming out before you know it. Celeste O'Connor, Maddie Franklin, also characterized as a Spider-Woman. And just on a loose tangent somewhere, Gwen Stacy was termed a Spider-Woman, but I'm going with alternate universe there as far as that part of it goes. All right. And Tahar Rahim plays Ezekiel Sims, and a good bad guy for that. Mike Epps played O'Neill. Emma Roberts, Mary Parker. Emma Roberts from, if people know, American Horror Story, many seasons of that, and I believe the one lived two-part Scream Queens, and Adam Scott as Ben Parker, and Carrie Bechet as Constance Webb, who has, you know, the brief role and a little bit of flashback stuff going on there. That's essentially the cast. The trailer was released in November of 2023, and the premise at that time started with the line, "Meanwhile, in another universe," which we're told had been used in the trailer for Sony's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse from 2018 when it was attached to the end of their film Venom. And I do remember seeing "Meanwhile in Another Universe." So, you know, streams are crossing, whether you keep track of it or just scratch your head or maybe were entertained or not, all remains out there. The film was originally scheduled for July of 2023, then October 6th, and then February 16th of this year, 2024. Got moved back to a couple of days. Don't know that it's a date film. But this, we're told, was the first film to use the new Columbia Pictures logo commemorating the studio's 100th anniversary with a computer-generated animated version of the Lady with the Torch iconography. I'm sure you noticed that, Frank, right?
No, I did not.
They were at the opening changing the multiple images of the Lady with the Torch. They had multiple iterations of that in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of neat, something a little bit different. And yes, some people have compared the film to Morbius. Well, sure, Morbius. And I know in a post-credit scene, you have Adrian Toomes as the Vulture. And I believe it had said, Morbius will return. This is not what's happening here. But again, they're comparing the film to Morbius in not the most positive ways. So I think I gave Morbius a higher rating than I'm going to have to give to Madam Web. I'm going to put it right in the middle. Out of 10, I'm going to say 5. We also have another character that's out there called Arachne, which again, depending on what universe, and they take other names and iterations, and there's Julia Carpenter in one case of being told that she's the second Spider-Woman or second Arachne, and then also and or the second Madam Web. So information is conflicting, as it will be, depending on who picks up the trail and continues. Spider-Girl, by the way, I believe was Mayday Parker in the MC2 universe. And further down the line, there's another spider character that alternate universe and part of the Old Man Logan lore, I believe, from like 2008, Wolverine 2008, she shows up. Her name is Ashley Barton. And yes, a relation to Clint. And we're not going to go into like a stepchild of Peter Parker, but the name of Spider Bitch. So, and I think you're saying, what? Yeah, that was one of the other ones as well. So, other thoughts to this, and was it worth doing, or did you have a rating for it, Frank, at all, or anything else? Give myself a chance to catch my breath.
Well, I enjoyed it more than I thought. I would think I enjoyed it more than Morbius and actually more than Eternals. If they could have, I really believe they should have just kept it down to one character and they could have built something out of it with only picking one of the girls for her to save and then finding the other two later on in like a sequel, then I think it would have been much more effective. To throw that many people out where you don't even understand what's going on kind of makes it confusing. It has the premise of the original Terminator movie, if you understand movies. If Skydyne wanted to stop John Connor, they could have destroyed the time machine, and then Reese would not have traveled back to father John Connor. But that makes for a very short storyline. When you're watching Madame Web, Ezekiel is obsessed with these girls, and he drives them towards his end goal and towards his death, where if he would have been, let me see how this plays out, and maybe never went after the girls, they would never have developed a grudge against him where they'd want to kill him later on.
That whole Terminator idea, I hadn't thought of until you brought that up. So,
but
you know,
that also makes for a very short storyline.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Always remember, in sci-fi and horror movies, you must do the most ridiculous idea to progress the storyline farther. If you do the most common sense idea, it's usually a very short-term movie.
Yeah, I agree. Now, as far as music in this, some familiar stuff, at least to myself. But the Yeah Yeah Yeahs are in this. Some of these I don't know. Graciela Odon, the operatic piece. There was a song by a group called Mystique. Sound pretty poppy. Meredith Brooks, her famous song, Bitch. Toxic by Britney Spears, played at the Four Star Diner, which I thought was kind of silly in terms of, not the song, but the fact that the three girls had to dance on the boys that they were, you know, making eyes at and possibly, you know, want to flirt with on their table at the diner.
I really don't know which diner owner would have allowed that to go on.
Yeah, that's the one of the things, too, for that to happen. Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now, was in this, and the Cranberries song Dreams during the end credits. Appropriate time-wise and lyric-wise, so I think overall these were good music selections to have in there. I wanted to nail down the song that was in the trailer, only in the movie trailer, Billie Eilish, Bury a Friend. Why just there? I kind of thought it would be carried into the movie itself. And the other subnote I thought was, holy cow, this is like a 3-minute trailer. Did it need to be that long?
I think to draw on people, Madame Web is not a major character, so is that to help draw the non-comic people to see it? Because it shows a lot of Dakota Johnson, who is a well-known actress, and people would be like, if she's in it, it must be good, or at least interesting enough to go see.
Well, it's funny, too, because I would assume that, yes, Dakota Johnson was all over the media circuit when it was coming time for this movie to come out. I wasn't exposed to much of that, if any, really, except for just the trailer. But the Spider-Woman character is who I had seen more than anything else, Sydney Sweeney, just by one Facebook posting, essentially, in terms of her moving her arms around when she was being interviewed in a close-up shot and seeing how there was a shot of a Spider-Woman coming down on a thread, on a web, upside down. That was in, again, the Facebook thing, the interview with Sydney, but not, I realized, I don't think, unless it was originally supposed to be some of the footage in the, you know, flash forward scenes of these costumed up spider women, but I didn't see that. So I kind of like wanted that.
Well, did they do it in Ezekiel's dream? I'm trying to remember.
Maybe if anything, it was there.
That's what I'm now that you mention it, I'm wondering if it was in Ezekiel's dream, because they all have spider powers during his dream.
Yes.
So would it? It could have been during his dream sequence.
Yeah, and it might have been some of that footage was not staying in the film. So it didn't quite pan out. But I also, too, wonder on a tangent how well, not Madame Web, but the other three spider people, perhaps, or no, it could be Madame Web as well, will see people in costume of these characters. Maybe. If they liked it, they want to emulate that, that's fine. I give full marks, total praise to anybody who wants to get in a costume.
Well, the Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen, is a very popular costume.
Mm-hmm. Even Gwen Stacy herself.
Yes.
With her signature hairband, skirt, and the long hair. Fans of Peter Parker, going back to the early days, will recognize Gwen Stacy as well. Whether we'll see other Spider-Women characters, I've seen some in some of the shows going to. The traditional that I've seen the most, of course, would be the red and yellow combination with some black highlights. But to see one in the darker, the black and white costume, maybe not as much. And again, there's that other character known as Arachne that's similar. And a friend of the show, Tashio Geek Girl, has done that as well. So maybe, and a big question mark at that, we'll see these characters again. But without any other things to tie it together, I don't know. It's yes, they made a movie. And how soon it stays around, we don't know, and where it goes from there. And I've never been one to really say, oh, terrible, I wasted my money, what'd I do this for, I'm leaving. I haven't done that, and I don't think I need to do that. It's entertainment, and take it personally as you wish or whatever. So good, bad, otherwise, you be your own critic on it if you want to see what else is cooking in the Marvel Universe.
Is Kraven the Hunter next?
Down the line, not too far, we hope. Fingers crossed.
I have not seen a recent trailer of it.
But, yeah, the Facebook and all the other platforms have been doing those, so hopefully we'll get something else later down in this year that's going to say, oh, yeah, I remember Madame Web. Oh, yeah, I remember the Marvels. Right, okay, and move on. That will have to do it on a wrap on Madame Web, just to give some kind of take. And, again, ultimately you're your own worst critic on that. So go to a matinee. See it that way, perhaps. Or wait. Or take a pass, as some I know have done. Frank, thanks for the help in getting through this episode on The Marvelous. Appreciate it. Maybe we'll do it again soon.
Maybe.
All right.
Kraven the Hunter.
That could be. I think he'd be up for that.
He's a personal favorite of mine.
All right. For The Marvelous, I'm Eddie Wilson.
And I'm Frank Rupp.
Excelsior!